Okay, Yismach Yisrael for Parshas Tetzava. We'll learn the collected pieces in the back of the Sefer Ma'oran Shel Yisrael. Two pieces on Tetzava, and then literally the very last piece in the volume that you have in front of you is a tiny piece on Tetzava. So I want to do two slightly longer pieces and then one very short piece. Okay, on the bottom left-hand corner on page Chaf. Shamati mipek kadosh la'achar sudas leil Shabbos kodesh Parshas Tetzava. I heard directly from the Rebbe's mouth after the Suda of Friday night, Parshas Tetzava, we don't know what year it is. He said the following. Pasach va'amar. Isa b'medrash, amazing medrash at the beginning of this week's Parsha. Va'ata Tetzava. How does our Parsha begin? Let's just know the facts. Va'ata Tetzava es b'nei Yisrael. I'm just reading the Psukim. V'yichu elecha shemen zayis zach, kasis lama'or. La'alos ner tamid. Parsha begins describing what? Describes the production of the oil that'll be used to light the menorah. The preparation of the oil. Okay, va'ata tetzava, you should command B'nai Yisrael in the processing of the menorah. Kosis lama'or, it should be crushed for illumination. Fine. Says the Medrash, va'ata tetzava, hadahu dichtiv. Zay Yisra'anan yifei pritoar. Kara Hashem Shemeich, like a zayis or anan, like a fresh olive, a beautiful fruit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu compares you, Klal Yisrael, to a beautiful zayis, a beautiful and fresh olive. Asks the Medrash, we're compared to a lot of trees, we're compared to a lot of fruits, we're compared to a lot of different things. Why dafka are we highlighting the fact? Why did Yirmiyahu HaNavi, why did he highlight the fact that we're like a zayis? Right? Ask the Medrash. Again, V'chulu, he didn't give us the whole question. He didn't give us the whole Medrash. But the Medrash wonders, Uba Yirmiyahu Lomer zayis ra'anan yafei pri talar. It's a question. The part that's not printed on the page in front of you is, if the Jewish people are compared to so many different types of fruits and trees, so why did Yirmiyahu, what was he going for when he picked the zayis? Why did he refer to us as a fresh, beautiful olive? Elama zayis hazeh, ad shehu be'ilano, megargrin oso, v'achar kach moridin oso min hazayis, v'nechbat, u'mishechovtin oso malin oso lagas, v'nosnin osan b'metochin, v'b'matchin, v'achar kach tochnin osan, v'achar kach makifin osan b'chavalin, u'mevien avanim, v'achar kach nosnin es shumnan, says the Medrash. You have an olive on a tree. First, you're busy poking the olives, trying to make sure that they grow in the right way. Then you knock the olives down from the tree. Then, again, last two words on page Chaf, nechbat. Then you crush them. Then you beat them. Right? Nechbat means you beat them. And after you beat them, you bring them to, first line on page Chaf Aleph, you bring them to the gat, to the gas. What's a gas? The press. You bring it to the press. And then what? Tochein. What's tochein? You grind them. And then what do? Makif anosan b'chavalim. You surround them with ropes. And after you lay down these ropes around the olives, you place these heavy stones on top. And after all of this abuse, the olives finally produce what? The olive oil. Kach Yisrael, in the third line. Kach Yisrael. Same thing is true about the Jewish people. Ba'in umos ha'olam. Aleph Vav Hei stands for Umos HaOlam. The Umos HaOlam come v'chovten osam, and they beat us. Mimakum lamakum. They beat us from one place to the next. They kick us out of this place and they send us into that place. Galus after galus. V'chovshim osam. And they hold us hostage. They incarcerate us. V'chovshim osam b'kolarin. And they chain us with chains. U'makifin osan tartiotin. Not sure exactly what that means, but they put us into solitary confinement. They lock us up. V'achar kach osin tshuva. But finally, like the olive that eventually produces the beautiful, clear, illuminated olive oil, so too the Jewish people, after taking a beating from the Umos HaOlam, we say, you know what? It's time for us to come back to Hashem, because He's the only one who can protect us. V'achar kach osin tshuva. V'akadosh Baruch Hu one lehem. Then finally, the Jews do tshuva, and Hashem responds to them. Says the Medrash, Minayin, question mark. From where do we know that that's true? That after taking a beating, when we cry out, Hashem listens. Shenemar vayanchu b'nei Yisrael, as it says in Shemos Perek Beis, that b'nei Yisrael cried out from the backbreaking labor of Mitzrayim. V'chein, and similarly we find towards the very end of the Torah, batzar lecha u'mitza'ucha v'gomer, right, when you're in a state of constriction, Mitzrayim, pain, difficulty, suffering, cry out to Hashem, ki keil rachum, Hashem elokecha, because Hashem will listen to the cries of a suffering Jew. And therefore concludes the Medrash, Have Zayis Ranan Yefei Pritoar. This is the image that Yirmiyahu, who himself spent time in jail, this is the picture that Yirmiyahu HaMelech is painting of a Jew struggling, fighting his way through Gullus, taking a lot of beatings along the way, but eventually, through that process, getting closer to Hashem and being answered by Hashem. Crying out to Hashem, doing tshuva, being answered by Hashem. Ad Kan Lashon HaMedrash. Very powerful Medrash, which a lot of Svarim talk about in this week's Parsha. How could you not? It's such a honest and real review of all of Jewish history. Magnificent Shem Yishmuel, this week's Parsha, on this Medrash. So explains the Yismach Yisrael. Va'amar Pek Kadosh. So the Holy Rebbe said, Shechazal Horeinu. What are Chazal getting at? You know, you read this Medrash and you're very like, wow. Look at the amazing strength of the Jewish people. Look how, despite all the beatings we go on, look how the Jewish people are chozer b'tshuva, and Hashem answers them. But says the Yismach Yisrael, let's be honest for 1 second. Why did we wait till we got so beaten up to do tshuva? It's a very depressing takeaway from this Medrash. Like, why do I have to beat you over the head till you finally get it? Why do you have to mess up so badly till you finally say, okay, now I really have to change? Yeah, now you really have to change 5 years ago. But like now, yeah, now you hit rock bottom. So yes, now I believe you that you finally understand that you need to change. Why do we have to wait till we're so broken to finally get it? The why is a difficult question to answer. Right? It's up to us. That's Bechira. We could choose to do tshuva earlier. But says the Yismach Yisrael, what's powerful about this Medrash is the fact that even when we do tshuva in this way, it still counts. You might say it doesn't count. It's like too late, you know? Like after you have no other way to handle it yourself, because life is just completely falling apart, so you turn to Hashem, and Hashem says, okay. But Hashem's like, could say back to us, why was that the last one on your list? Like after you tried every other way to handle life, and you realize you couldn't, so then you turn to me. Hashem could be very annoyed at us at that point. Oh, now that it got so bad, where have you been until now? There's a Gemara like that. If I'm a Melech, so where were you until now? Which the Svarim say is, Sefer Chassidus say, is kind of the feeling that we have when we come to Rosh Hashanah. If I'm the Melech, where have you been until now? HaMelech, blow the shofar, crown the king. Hashem says, oh, now I'm the Melech. Now you realize it's the Yom HaDin, so all of a sudden you start to recognize me. There's a Gemara like that, about a king of flesh and blood. If I'm the king, where have you been until now? So Hashem says to us, you did tshuva, where have you been until now? But says the Yismach Yisrael, the powerful idea that's being conveyed by Chazal is that Hashem doesn't say that. Hashem doesn't say, where have you been until now? It's so late in the game, like now you're finally waking up. Hashem says, oh, you cry out to me? Good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I hear your pain, I'm coming to the rescue. Says the Yismach Yisrael, Shechazal horeinu bezeh, Chazal are teaching us, da'af al pi shehi tshuva al yedei hachreach. Even though the tshuva at this point comes of necessity, you didn't really choose to do tshuva. You just got into such a bad situation that you didn't have a choice. Afal piche, nonetheless, despite the fact that you are doing tshuva in such a way, chaviv ma'od lefanav yisbarach shemo. Hashem never says, it's too late for me to take you back. When you recognize me, Hashem says, I'm there for you. Ki goloi v'yadua lefanav. Now why does that work? Okay, so now the Yismach Yisrael has to explain it l'fi shitasa, the way he explains everything in the whole Sefer, as we've learned very clearly this year. Now, why should that work? I mean, shouldn't Midas HaDin say, get lost, it's too late. You're not coming to me last when you've exhausted all your other options, so now you come to Hashem? Hashem should say, get lost. You know why Hashem takes you back in that moment? Because part of the feeling in that moment, as you do tshuva, is I should have done tshuva earlier. And it's that feeling of disappointment and recognition that I should have done tshuva earlier, That's what really Hashem says, ah, good. That's an important lesson to learn. So that next time you won't wait till you hit rock bottom. The fact that you hit rock bottom and you ask your parents for help, right? Avinu Shema Shemayim, I'm desperate. Hashem says, okay. I'll take you back because you're my kid. But the fact that you can say, part of the tshuva is, I'm sorry I waited so long to ask for help. That, the parent says, ah, that I can get real nachas from. Because that means you learned something from this experience. You're not going to do it again. Next time you'll recognize when you're in danger, when you're in trouble earlier on, and you'll respond. Right? Again, look at the words. Ki golo yadua lefanov. Ki lahem ba'atzmam yeshsar mizeh shechiku b'tshuvasam areinam. Hashem says, I can see that your pain, that you what? That you delayed your tshuva until now. V'lo asu tshuva mikodem shehigiyu lematzav zeh. And I see that you're upset at yourself for not doing tshuva before it got to such a bad place. V'az haisa tshuvasam yoser nechona. Then your tshuva would have been more perfect, would have been better. You showed how disconnected you were. You didn't even get that you were a mess until you became the biggest mess possible. Then you finally got it. How did you lose your moral compass to such a degree that you didn't realize you had a problem until it became such a big problem? How did you not think there was a problem all along? So when we say to Hashem, now I realize that it was a problem all along, and I regret the fact that I didn't realize it, and next time, I'm not going to say I'm never going to make mistakes again, but next time I'm going to catch myself much sooner and realize that I have a problem and work on it, Hashem says, ah, it's that feeling of what? Al yedei zeh nishbar libam bekirbam. That feeling of disappointment in oneself, that feeling of not depression, God forbid, but shviras halev, that brokenheartedness that comes with the encounter with oneself, of realizing I could have been so much better, I let this slide for too long. L'chein ola l'ratzon u'l'nachas ruach l'fanav yisbarach shema. That itself, Hashem says, is that shows growth. The fact that you're desperate and you ask your parents to bail you out, That's just playing on their parental love for you. The fact that you could say, I really genuinely get what I did wrong here, and next time I'm not going to ever let it get as out of control again. I'm not going to be perfect. I'm not claiming I'm going to be perfect from this day forward, but I'll never let it slip to such a low place again. Hashem says, oh, that recognition and the disappointment that you have with yourself, the shviras halev, right, that brokenheartedness is what creates the attraction to Hashem. As the Medrash says in Vayikra, Hashem loves broken vessels. Hashem is not trying to break us, and Hashem doesn't want us to be depressed. But when there's really a breaking of the heart, which really means that the heart, what? The heart, when you break the heart, it means the heart opens up. It's able to receive now. Hashem feels very attracted to us in those moments. And therefore, V'kor Yosam, Zayisra Anan Yafei Pri Tawar. So yes, even the beaten Jew, who finally produces the oil, is beautiful. It's a beautiful fruit in Hashem's eyes. V'doma lefanav tshuvasam kamo shelo chatu klal negdo va'ona lehem. Hashem says, I'm not angry that you waited to the last minute to call out to me. I'm so happy that you get it, and you're not going to make this mistake again. And Hashem says, I'm prepared to forgive you from your sins and to respond to you. Where do we see that in the pasuk? Well, we're not ready for our pasuk yet. But where do we see it in the pasuk that the Medrash quoted? So the Medrash quoted the pasuk in Mitzrayim. Shmos Perek Beis. The next paragraph. V'chein b'mitzrayim, v'yeyanchu b'nei Yisrael min ha'avoda. The Jewish people, yeyanchu, they groaned from the hard work. V'yizaku, and they cried out. V'ta'al shavasam el ha'alokim min ha'avoda. V'ta'al shavasam el ha'alokim min ha'avoda. And their cries went out and went up to Hashem from the work. Funny pasuk. V'ta'al shavasam el elokim min ha'avoda. What does that mean? That their cries went out min ha'avoda. Their cries went out from the work. It means the only reason they were crying out is not because they understood fully how far they were from Hashem. They were just in a lot of pain. Min ha'avoda. The cry was coming from a place of what? Of min ha'avoda. The starting point of their cries was what? We're really suffering. And Hashem, we haven't called out to you in a long time, so we're going to call out to you. Says the Yismach Yisrael, Vayeyanchu b'nei Yisrael min avoda, haynu masha mitzrim ma'avidim osam. They cried out, they groaned from the pain of what the Egyptians were doing to them. Vayizaku, and that led them to initially what? Cry out, a scream to Hashem, simply because they're in so much pain. Haynu tshuva sha'asu. But that became their tshuva. The pain led them back to God. Vital shavasam elokim min ha'avoda. And their cries went out to Hashem, went up to Hashem from the avoda. Says the Yismach Yisrael, shalibam nishbar ma'od bikirbam. But once they started drawing close to Hashem, they realized, wow, where have we been until now? Why did we let Mitzrayim schlep on for so long? And it led to a shviras halev, a brokenheartedness, that they delayed, shechikua, shavoda tavim l'tshuva, that they had delayed until now, and that it was only when they hit rock bottom that they were able to cry out to Hashem and do tshuva. V'lo asur tshuva tarim bahara? Why don't we do tshuva before the bad happened? Why did it take such a beating for us to wake up? V'zeh inyan akasuv, but that's what the pasuk says, v'gam ani shamati as na'akas b'nei Yisrael, Hashem Mitzrayim ma'avidim osam. Hashem is saying, right, interesting lesson, gam ani shamati, I also hear the cries of a Jew who cries out because Mitzrayim is beating them. What's the chiddush? The chiddush is, of course I hear the cry of a Jew who realizes that he wants to be close to me on his own. But even the Jew who comes crying to me because he's just in pain, I also listen to him. Even if the goyim have to beat us up and to chase us around the world and gull us until we're convinced, wow, there really are still anti-Semites in the world. Wow, people really don't like Jews. Wow, I better stay on Hashem's good side. Even if I come to it in that way, it still counts as sin. Hashem says that. That also counts. Gam ani shamati. I also hear that type of cry. And again, says the Yismach Yisrael, the depth of that cry is the personal disappointment of why did it take me so long to come back to Hashem? Where have I been until now? We always feel that way. When we let something schlep and schlep and schlep and schlep, and then we look back, we say, what? I knew 3 weeks ago I could have stopped this problem. And I wasn't ready to confront it. Like we learned earlier in the week from Rabbi Nachman, his fear of death, he confronted it. He didn't spend his whole life avoiding it, and then on his deathbed have to have an encounter with it. As a young person, he was scared of death, and he's learned how to stare the Malach HaMavis in the eye, and to take it on. Klomar na'akosam dal yidei ha'avoda bo l'tshuva v'lo asu tshuva mikodem gam zeh shamati. Says the Yismach Yisrael, Hashem is saying to Klai Yisrael, I also heard that cry. It would have been better if you showed up earlier, and I know that, and I'm proud of you for knowing that. But of course, I'm still going to take care of you, even when you come to me in desperation. The bottom right-hand corner on page Chaf Aleph. V'amar Rabbeinu Zal. And our Rebbe explained further. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Zayis or Anan Yafei is Gematria Kedoshim Tiyu. What's that number? Is 882. 881 and 882. 882. Very nice. After we get beaten, right? We come back to Hashem and we become the holy nation we're supposed to be. Very nice. Very nice. V'amru Rabbeinu Zal, very nice. The Isa, Shekol Echad mi Yisrael, every single Jew is Mekushar im HaKadosh Baruch Hu Becheva. Every Jew is tied to Hashem, Kesher, he's tied, he's connected to Hashem with ropes. We're roped into Hashem. We learned this once in the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. What he's about to say is already found in the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. And I remember this idea, that the 36 krisos, the 36 things that a person gets kares for, right? Every time a person, so let's say a person eats bread on Pesach, chayiv kares. So you cut, you snip one of the ropes. There are 36 prohibitions that a person gets kares. Kares means excision, being cut off from Hashem. Whatever that means, whether it's more physical, spiritual, this world, next world, there's a concept called kares. Yeah? Something called kares. A person who eats chametz on Pesach, he cuts a rope. A person who doesn't have bris milah, habis b'mezid, cuts a rope. A person who has an affair, cuts a rope. All these things, right? Yisurei arayos, yisurei lavim. Okay, 36, there's 36 krisos. Each one's a rope. Each one's a rope to Hashem. So when a person, chas v'shalom, does one of these averas, he cuts the rope, and his connection to Hashem becomes a little more shaky. So says the Yismach Yisrael, Every Jew is roped in with Hashem. Ki chelek Hashem amo, Yaakov chevel nachalaso. Ki chelek Hashem amo, Hashem's portion is his people, is his nation. Yaakov, meaning us, B'nai Yisrael, chevel nachalaso. Chevel is a rope. Chevel nachalaso means, what did they do with ropes in the olden days? A rope was like a measure. You would use the rope to measure. So if I was selling something by measure, so they had different length ropes to, it was like a ruler. So Yaakov is chevel nachalaso. Hashem measures his nachala, so to speak, by us. Meaning the more Jews, the bigger, the greater Hashem's, Hashem's treasury is. We're Hashem's prized possessions. We're the Am Segula. Hashem collects Jews. So the more of us there is, that's how Hashem, so to speak, measures his nachla, his chelek. Ki chelek Hashem amo, Yaakov chevel nachalaso. Uvechevel yeshloshim v'shisha nimin. In a rope, there are 36 smaller strands. Now, I don't know if that's true in terms of making a rope. I never took apart a rope, right? But certainly in our spiritual rope to Hashem, it's made up of 36 smaller threads. So if one of the threads, right, a rope is many strands tied together. So if one of the strands rips, the rope's not going to snap completely. V'zeu ki Yaakov bachar lo ka. Ki Yaakov bachar lo ka. Yaakov is bachar, is chosen by Hashem. But he says, bachar lo, Hashem has chosen lo, lamed vav, 36. There are 36 ropes, lamed vav begematria shloshim v'shisha. There are 36 strings, so to speak, by which we are connected to Hashem. Ukenegdam yesh shloshim v'sheish krisos. And that corresponds to the 36 things that a person gets curious, gets cut off for violating. Person's mechal Shabbos, he cuts a rope. Not all the ropes, but he's made his relationship with Hashem a little bit more shaky. Ukesha'odam over aveira sheish bakaris, nichras nima achas hamiyuchala. So when he does that aveira, he cuts that rope, that strand. Uvezeh nichras chiyuso mibekor achayim, rachmana litzlan. And in that way, God forbid, he cuts himself away from the source of true life, which is Hashem, top of the left column. Vezeh dematzoi b'divrei chazal halashon sheyesh bakares. And that's what it means when Chazal say, that this is something sheyesh bakares. Right? This has an element of kares to it. What do you mean? Kares, either you're cut or you're not cut. Says the Yismach Yisrael, it's not true. You're only fully cut if you violate all 36 krisos. So I want to review a story that I shared before Slichos 2 years ago. Because it's one of the most beautiful stories in the world. Someone once came to the Rebbe of Radzmin and said to him, Rebbe, this Jew is a Rasha and I want you to curse this Jew. He's a Rasha, he's no good. Rebbe, put a curse on him. So the Rebbe of Radzmin said to him, he said, what are you talking about? He said, I'm telling you, he's a Rosh, he's a Machal Shabbos, he's Ochel Nevelos Utrefos, he's a Boel Arayos, he's the worst. So the Rebbe says to him, this idea from the Rachayim HaKadosh, there's 36 ropes that a person's connected to. So he says, you're telling me he does the worst of Eros in the world. So he says, but there's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, when it describes the Krisos, one of the things you get kares for is what? Hamafatim es Hashemen. A person who Hamishcha. And a kares, a person who makes the ketores, who combines the spices in just the right way to make the ketores. You're not allowed to do that unless you're making the ketores for the Beis HaMikdash. And a third thing that a person gets kares for is Hasach b'Shemen Hamishcha. A person who anoints himself with the Shemen Hamishcha that's described by the Torah. So the Rebbe says to this Jew, who's so angry at this rush of a Jew, so he asked the Rebbe to curse. So the Rebbe says, tell me, did he do these things? Was he ever mefatim as a shemen? Was he mefatim as a ketores? Was he soch b'shemen amishcha? So he says, well, Rebbe, maybe those three he didn't do, but I'm sure everything else on the list of kares he did. So the Rebbe says, if you're telling me he didn't do these three, that means at least three strings of connection he has to Hashem. And the pasuk says in Koheles, Perek Dalid, V'achut ha-meshulash, a three-ply cord, lo b'mehera yinasa. It's not easily severed. So don't give up on this Jew so fast. Don't curse this Jew. There's three averos he didn't do. He didn't make ketores. He didn't anoint himself with Shem and Mishcha. V'achut ha-meshulash, Koheles Perek Dalid, Pasuk Yud Vez, V'achut ha-meshulash, lo b'mehera yinasa. So says the Yismach Yisrael, without that beautiful story, he says the exact same thing. Says the Yismach Yisrael, forget the cute Vard of the Rebbe of Radzvin, because it says, Vachuta Meshulash. Right? He at least kept him alive with, you know, three strings. Says the Rebbe, you don't need three strings. Our Rebbe says, you don't need Yismach Yisrael. You don't even need three. One string's also, you're hanging by a thread, but you're hanging. Still connected. There's no Jew, he says, who violates all 36 krisos. Lefichach ein benimtza bar Yisrael, she is parid legamri chas v'shalom mekor achayim. And therefore, there's no Jew who has completely severed his connection to Hashem. V'yesh leschar b'sma al yedei achevel. And therefore, yes, Hashem could say, in the Pasuk, as he looks at Klal Yisrael, in Devarim Perek Lamed Vez, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can say to Klal Yisrael, Ki chelak Hashem amo, Yaakov chevel nachalasa. It's a rope that will never be cut. There's always a connection. Afilu adam kazeh. That even such a Jew, Shahar Belifshaw, who sinned repeatedly, Be'im ka'asher nis'orer, when he's ready, the guy's Yiddishkeit is mamish hanging by a thread. But it's still connected. And Hashem says, when he's ready to have a spiritual awakening, when he reaches into the depths of his being, to the point of a Jew that can never be sullied by sin, and he starts to reattach those ropes, to reconnect. You can do tshuva for karis. A person sleeps with a nida. You can do tshuva for that. You can reattach the rope. It's hard work, but you can do it. Kamo mikodem, you can reattach the rope like it used to be. Vayidei mitzvos umaisim tovim sheosa. Umosif achar atshuva ulahala nidbak nafsho bekesher amitz. He reattached himself with a strong connection, b'makor achayim, to the source of life. Vizel lashon mitzvah kamo tzav sachada. He says, what is a mitzvah? The very word mitzvah means what? Mitzvah is a lashon of tzavsa, which means companionship, attachment. Every time you do a mitzvah, you're strengthening those bonds of attachment to Hashem. The goal of all mitzvahs is dveikus v'Hashem. You do a mitzvah, you're attaching yourself to Hashem. You're tightening that rope to make sure it's very chazak. And now we understand our pasuk. How does our parsha begin? Va'ata titzave es b'nei Yisrael. If titzave, if mitzvah is a lashon of what? Of hiskashrus, of tzavsa, to use the word in the Gemara, attachment. So va'ata titzave es b'nei Yisrael. Help a Jew to feel attached to Hashem. How do you help a Jew feel attached to Hashem? Moshe Rabbeinu, va'ata, you, titzave es b'nei Yisrael. Connect a Jew to Hashem. How do you do that? How do you make sure that the connection is strong? Techaber osam chazar kibitchila. Reconnect the Jew. Not just connect. Reconnect the Jew. Make it strong like it used to be. How do you do that? V'yikhu eilecha shemen zayizach. Just look at the olive. Look at the olive that only finally produced its oil after it was beaten. But the oil was still so beautiful that it went straight to the menorah, lahalos ner tamid. It highlights the what? The ner tamid. The ner tamid inside of a Jew. The candle that can't go out. Shemen rom is lachachma kenota. Shemen represents what? Wisdom. A person who's an elevated person. Haynu shiyasku me'achshav b'chachmas ha'torah v'maisim tovim. Help a Jew who was very far from Torah and from good deeds to get back to Torah and mitzvos. Shelo yishar k'silim, that we shouldn't remain what? We shouldn't remain individuals who dwell in the dark. Squeeze out that oil and light that menorah. Rekindle that person's relationship with Hashem. As the pasuk says, haksil b'choshech holech. A fool walks in the dark. A fool walks in the dark. Elu b'chinas v'orach tzadikim ko'or noga. Rather, bring a Jew into the light. V'orach tzadikim. Not oreach, orach. Right? Like orach chayim. Orach means what? A path. Orach tzadikim, ko'or noga. The path of the tzadik is what? Like the light of noga. It's illuminated, it's bright. Holeich va'or ad nechon hayom. Holeich va'or. It continues va'or. It continues to brighten. Ad nechon hayom. It's constantly getting brighter and stronger. And how do you get there? Says the pasuk, kosis lama'or. Kosis lama'or means what? Crushed to illuminate. Crush those olives to bring out their light. Even though the oil only emerged after this Jew was completely crushed, nonetheless, Umeir lahem shelo ya'od ksil b'choshech oleich. Hashem says, I'm just so happy that you came out of the dark and into the light of Torah and Maisim Tovim. Ki ner mitzvah v'torah or. Ela laha'alos ner tomid. Rather, this is an expression of what? Of the eternal flame that is always trying to leap a little bit higher in the soul of a Jew. Because not only, again, did you finally get it when you hit rock bottom, but you really understood, Hashem, I regret that I didn't come back sooner. And when you realize I should have come back sooner, it's that recognition that Hashem is so proud of. When you're pained, that has the ability to restore the relationship with Hashem completely. Chaver, this is a really good piece. No? I think so. Yes.
I heard this idea before that whenever we do an Aveda, right, and the rope, so to speak, gets cut off, so every time we do tshuva, we retie the rope. So whenever you retie a rope,
it's stronger.
It also gets shorter.
Very good. Right, when you have the broken rope and you tie it together now, right, the rope itself is smaller. So it shows that the place that the Baal Tshuva stands is much greater than the place that the Tzaddik stands. Because through the breaking of the rope and the reattaching of the rope, he's able to shorten the distance. Beautiful. Beautiful idea. Okay, where are we holding on the clock? 9:59. Okay, let's quickly do... we're good. We're doing good. Okay, let's take a look at the next piece. Actually, you know what? Let's do the tiny piece in the back first. Let's go to the very last page. Page Chav Zayin. The Hashmatos. A lot of people say this part. He quotes from the Admor HaZakin, which means the first Rebbe of Alexander. But the Rebbe Mendel of Orki says this part. A lot of tzaddikim say this part. It's a beautiful part. What does the Pasuk say about the oil of the menorah that's being produced here? If you remember, if you read Rashi, anyone got started with Rashi this week, Rashi says that the oil that's being used for the menorah is supposed to be very fine oil. Not supposed to grind up the olives till it becomes filled with sediment. Right? But that's a hakpada that we have when it comes to the menorah. The menorah has to be shemen zayis zach, the purest of oil. There's other things that get oil, that require oil, in the Beis HaMikdash. You bring a carbon mincha, for example, a flour offering, it's accompanied by oil. That oil can be crushed up in a different way. It doesn't have to have the same standards of purity. A lot of Chanukah Torah about this. And maybe they had pure oil on the level of mincha, but they didn't have the pure oil on the level of the menorah. And they went with hider mitzvah to light the menorah with the pure oil on the level, the madrega of the menorah. Okay, but there's a distinction between the oil that's used for the menorah and the oil that's used for a karban mincha. That's what Rashi points out from Chazal. Says the Yismach Yisrael, Kosis Lamaor, Perish Rashi, again, based on Chazal, v'lo kosis l'menachos. It needs to be crushed in a precise way for the menorah, l'ma'or, to illuminate. But when it comes to the karban mincha, you can crush it in a less perfect way. The oil doesn't have to be as pure and as refined. Okay? Explains the Admor HaZakin of Alexander. He explained, kosis l'ma'or, crushed for illuminating. And it connects so beautifully to what we were just explaining. Im echad rotze lomar musr lechavero ulichtoso so. Sometimes you have to give musr to your friend, or to your Talmud, or to your child. You need to rebuke someone to say you're not living in accordance with what the Torah wants. You're not living in a Jewish way. Right? So kustis, you're going to crush them down. You're going to knock them down. It hurts to hear musr. However, make sure kosis lamaor. Make sure that your musar is illuminating. Make sure that they understand that I'm crushing you down in order to what? To make your life more illuminated. Im echad rotza lomar musar lechaver, if you want to give musar to someone, ulichtoso so, and to crush him, literally, yiyeh lamaor kavanaso, leheir lo aderech. Make sure you're not doing it because you're holier than thou. Make sure you're not doing it in a way that's going to break him permanently. But do it in a way that I'm telling you that you're not living a proper way because I believe in you. Not because I'm trying to crush you. I want to illuminate your life. V'lo kosis lamenachos. What's the chassidish atayit chair? I want to crush you lamaor, to illuminate you, kosis lamaor, but not kosset. I don't want to crush you. L'menachos. What does he mean by menachos? He says, lahaniach oso ulashpilo. Right? To put you down. Hanacha. Right? Hanacha means what? To put something in its place. Lahaniach tefillin. So crush a person, not just to put him in his place, right? Or to lahaniach, to put him down. Lashpilo, to knock him down for the sake of knocking him down. Right? Knock him down from his place of sin, of taiva, of whatever, in order to what? In order to allow him to build himself up. But don't leave him lying on the floor. You gotta pick him up. Gotta help him to recover from the harsh words of Musar. Okay, so kosis lamaor, velo kosis lamenachos. Okay, turn back to page 21, and we'll end with this piece. Oz Beis. Moti Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Tetzava by the Sudos Malava Malka, the Rebbe said the following. Isa Bilakute Torah Laharizal. The Arizal is Megalit to us a remez at the end of the Parsha when it again talks about the menorah, the lighting of the menorah in the afternoon, Bein Harabayim. The Pasuk says, Uva'alos Aaron es Haneros Bein Harabayim, Yakti Rena. Explains the Arizal, Ace or Es Haneros Bein Harabayim is Rashi Tevos Ahava. You see it? Look at it carefully. When the Pasuk says that Aaron lit the menorah, Uva'alos Aaron es Haneros Bein Harabayim, the first four letters spell out Ahava, which means love. Says the Arizal, why, when Aaron is lighting the menorah in the afternoon, does the Torah hint to the love that is the embodiment of Aaron's midah? Oev shalom, oev esabrios, right? Aaron is all about the love. That was the midah of Aaron HaKohen, very beloved in the eyes of Klal Yisrael, even more so than Moshe Rabbeinu in a certain sense, because Moshe had to be the bad cop. Aaron was able to, so to speak, be the good cop. Sometimes to a fault, not confronting them enough by Chet HaEgel. But what's the Ahava that Aaron's expressing by the lighting the menorah in the afternoon? Rashi Tevos Ahava. And the Aaron HaKohen Paul, Aaron HaKohen was able to create the reality, Shebebein Arabayim, that in the afternoon is a time of what? As it starts to get dark, a time where the light is transitioning to darkness, it's considered a frightening time, a spiritually dangerous time. That's why Shalosh Shudas on Shabbos is so important. It's Rava de Ravin. It's a time where Shabbos is fighting off what usually occurs at that time. Usually, Mincha time is a dark time, is a negative time. On Shabbos, the Koach of Shabbos is fighting back. That's what we're saying in the Zmiros, the Shalosh Shudas. Right? It's a time where, Leis Din and Tekifin. We don't allow the Din to be Tokif, to be strong. We fight back. Labar Natlin Hani Kalbin de Chatzifin. We don't let the Klipos, the Sitra Achar, enter at this time. It's Shabbos Kodesh, we're fighting back. But on a typical day, that's the time of Midas Adin. So Aaron HaKohen Paul, Shevabein Arabayim, Ace Shlita Sadinim, at a time where Midas Adin is dominant, Yisor Av of Chesed. Aaron added an extra dose of love to help the Jews along. That's why it hints to Ava as Aaron is lighting the menorah. Now, if you look in just the, don't turn now, but if you want a little homework for Shabbos, if you look in the Yismach Yisrael, in his the main section, the first piece on Parshas Tetzaveh, he only has two pieces, but the first piece he talks a lot about this remez and explains it in a very deep way. But this piece is a better hemshech of what we've been talking about today. So how does he explain it here? V'diber od b'kadsho. The Rebbe further explained. He quoted this Arizal by the Malav Malka, right? That es aneros ben arbaim is Rashi Tevas Ahava. And then he explained further as follows. Sha'afilu be'ez sha'adam b'shafel matzavo ve'ein lo shum behiros klal pol Aaron HaKohen she'kadosh baruch hu b'chasto yashpia lo behiros hamoch. Aaron HaKohen, in his great love for Jews, made it that at a time where it's really hard to be connected, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should still shower you with his kindness. And it should give a person a behiras hamochen. Again, the lighting of the menorah is illuminating one's mind. So Aaron HaKohen, through his efforts, made it that even when a Jew is in a dark place, Hashem should give him moments of inspiration. And that's what it means. V'zeh uva'alos Aaron es haneros bein harabayim. Turn the page, please. As the Pasuk says, Ner Hashem nishmas adam. That as you light the Ner Hashem, Aaron HaKohen was asking Hashem, I'm lighting your candles, I want you to light other candles. What candles? Ner Hashem. Hashem, what's your candles? Nishmas Adam. To light up the Jewish soul. So Aaron Cohen is always looking out for Jews. And that's what it says in Pirkei Avos. Whose mimer is this? Who says it in Pirkei Avos? The person who lived it. Who do you think? Who said you should be a student of Aaron, you should love Jews, you should chase after them, you should be makariv them? Rekiv is a good guess. Who else? Hillel. Hillel was the one in Shabbos Daf Lamed Aleph who was makariv the ger, standing on one foot. Right? Lamdeni called it Torah Kula, standing on one foot. Hillel was always more understanding than Shammai. So Hillel says, be like a student of Aaron. Love people. Chase after peace. Be makariv people. Yeah? Hainu shahaya ma'ahe v'sabrios. Lefnei ha'makom. Not only should you love people, but what? Make people beloved in the eyes of Hashem. Ma'ahe v'sabrios. Cause people to be loved in the eyes of Hamakom Baruch Hu. Afilu be'ez shaloha yukadayim. Even when what? Even when a Jew seems to be unworthy of that. When it's not kadai. When it's not, you know, when it's not so easy to say something nice. But say, Hashem, be like the Berdichever, you know? Always be malamid tzchus on klal Yisrael. Find something good and nice to say about a Jew. V'gam afilu shaloha yukadayim mitzad nishmoseyim. Shayu bekat nismaod. Even if a Jew is in a very small-minded place. He's not able to illuminate himself in the service of God. I think Nephel's a stillborn, right? Like a child who never saw the light of day. So you can have a Jew who's mamish. This Jew's done nothing, you know, really substantial in his life. Aaron HaKohen brought Hashem's rachmanis upon him. That Hashem should shine His light upon him. Aaron lit the menorah. Hashem, I ask you to light up the Jewish souls. By your light, light is seen. As I light your menorah, Hashem, light up our souls. To create light. Yismach Yisrael ends by connecting it to Purim. He says in the last paragraph for today, "Uviyamei Achashverosh." In the times of Achashverosh, the pasuk says the very beginning of the fourth parak of the Megillah, "Umordechai Yada." What is das? What is das? Das is attachment, knowledge, connection. Umordechai Yada. Mordechai knew. Mordechai was connected. Mordechai was not bowing down to Haman. He was connected to Hashem. Everyone else was severing their connection to Hashem. Mordechai yada. Mordechai knew. Mordechai knew the truth. Mordechai lived the truth. Mordechai was a person of das. Mordechai was connected. Maybe we'll get to it in the weeks ahead when we get into some Purim Shirim. Mordechai is very spiritually connected to Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? Mordechai is deeply, deeply connected to Moshe Rabbeinu. I mentioned yesterday that Moshe is connected to Mashiach, so that's a link between Purim and Mashiach. Right? But Mordechai and Moshe, there's a lot of Gilgal talk between Mordechai and Moshe. And Moshe, Kabbalistically, is known as Das. So therefore, Mordechai Yada. Mordechai is also Das. Mordechai Yada. He's connected to the sphere of Das, to the concept, the spiritual concept of Das. But again, the way Das is first introduced in the Torah is Adam knew his wife. That means Adam was intimate with his wife. Right? When two bodies literally are bound together in an intimate act, that's called Das. Attachment, chibur. Physical, emotional, spiritual connection. So Mordechai yada. Mordechai was connected. Aval ha'am lo yadu v'lo yavinu v'chasheicha yishalachu. But Klal Yisrael, Rachmana Litzlan, they didn't know. They didn't act. They didn't understand. They didn't live. They were dwelling in the dark. Right? Klal Yisrael was in a state of Esther. Hastaras panim. Megillas Esther. The Avodah Purim is to be Megaleh, to reveal that which is Esther, that which is Seser, that which is hidden. Melech, who's the Melech in the conversation, of course, throughout the Megillah? Kodesh. Sometimes the Melech is Achashverosh, but also the Melech is Kodesh, the Melech. So therefore, V'alshem akars katnus ha'erech u'pechisos ha'matzuv kosov u'v'chein avo'al ha'melech asher lo kadas. And therefore, Esther says, Esther, Mordechai knows. But Esther's nervous. Mordechai knows. What does Mordechai know? Mordechai knows that it's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. Of course, he cries and he screams and he fasts also. But Mordechai's a person of Das. He knows Klal Yisrael is not going to be destroyed. But Esther, Mamish, is unsure. To the point that she initially rejects Mordechai's mission. Right? I'm going to the king. I don't know what I'm doing. This is insane. Mordechai says, don't worry, don't worry. I know what I'm talking about. Just go to the king. It's going to be fine. We'll daven for you. It's going to be fine. Klal Yisrael is not going to be destroyed. Okay? But Esther is being sent also to go before the Melech means what? Esther means a Jew who's in a place of Hester Panim trying to stand before Hashem and feeling weird. Like, what right do I have to be in the presence of Hashem? I'm very far from Hashem. L'malchus ha'olam. Afal pi sha'ani b'matzav pachus be'ein kedai v'roi l'zakla. When a person's in a low matzav and they feel totally unworthy and unfit for this. But nafshi b'she'elasi. She'ela hi b'china katana. I have a small request. Right? From a place of smallness, I have a request. Lish'ol al nafshi v'nefesh kol Yisrael. To try to look again at the core of my being, to look at my nefesh. And that was Aaron HaKohen. Aaron was Oiv Shalom, Rodev Shalom, Oiv Esabriyos Makarvan LaTorah. V'amr B'kadsho, Dila Acher, his galus, Neis HaPurim. And of course, after Purim, a new reality existed in the world. You know what the new reality is? That a Jew, in the deepest way, that much more so, is always connected to Hashem. Hayekabalas haTorah beRatzon. We accepted the Torah willingly. Perish shelo hayelahem shum Ratzon elamash etzivsa haTorah velo lehepich. They accepted a new way, a new Ratzon. That my only Ratzon is Hashem's Torah, and nothing else. They became fully attached to Hashem. Right? That's at our core, from Purim onward. A Jew is permanently attached to Hashem. That was true before Purim also, but it became revealed. That awareness that, wow, the Jewish people really never will be destroyed, became clear on Purim, became revealed. The Rebbe concluded by quoting one of the lines from the songs of Motzei Shabbos, by the Malava Malka. There's a tefillah, a song, the Motzei Yom Menucha, and in that tefillah it says, Eis todim to'orer kel, Eistodim, at the time of the beloved ones, to save the people that request. Motzei Shabbos is a Jew transitions back into the world. Right? Chol is a lashon, Rav Pinchas Korzer says of Chola. After Shabbos, we feel a little bit sick. But we come, we sit at Hashem's table, even though the party's over, have a little Malav Malka, and we say Hashem, we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eistodim Misor Kel. No, it's a time where the lovers are parting ways. So Hashem, we have a little request. We know we're going back. Shabbos, we were mamish. Our minds were open. We felt connected. We're in the presence of Hashem. Now I'm going back to work. Now I'm going back to regular life. And I know I'm not going to feel, my mind's not going to be, my heart's not going to be as open as it was on Shabbos. But Hashem, I have a small request from a position of small-mindedness. Kisha'ela b'chinas katana. Re'os tuvcha b'vo go'el. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tried to see the good in us, which will move us towards Geula. We're asking for your rachmanis. The way that Aaron HaKohen, when he lit the menorah in the afternoon, Aaron says, I know it's a bad time, but I'm going to be ma'orah the Ava to push Klal Yisrael through. So we ask that Hashem should help us to see revealed good. Shashem Yisbarach, Meir Lanu Lislaiv Lavodaso, Hakol Mitzido Yisbarach Shemo, Lo Mitzidenu. That it should all be in your kindness, Hashem, and not anything that we feel that we've truly earned, but we make a small request. And again, it's tzaddikim like Aaron and the Yismach Yisrael and the Kedushas Levi, right? And training ourselves to try in some small measure to be like them, to see good in ourselves and to see good in our fellow Jews. Shkoyach. La 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 la